Dr. Miller, members of the faculty and Board of Regents, parents and families of the graduates, esteemed guests, and especially you, the members of the class of 92. It was about 29 years ago this month that I sat in a similar fashion at a different place in the city of Springfield, Illinois. The only difference, I was sitting outside and I was getting a sunburn. I was waiting to receive, like you graduates, that piece of parchment we call a diploma, which signified that I had successfully completed and passed all the required courses and was certified to accept a call into the ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. In that audience, that day, my parents and in-laws sat, along with my wife, Vicki, and my first child, John, age 2. I sat with my class in the front part of the quadrangle of the campus at Springfield, perspiring under my cap and gown and anxiously waiting for the ceremonies to be concluded. And needless to say, my heart was filled with joy and anticipation for the future. In the back of my mind was my first call to a dual parish of Our Savior Muscatine, Iowa, a new mission start, and St. Paul's Lutheran Church, Wapello, Iowa, a small established parish. Like you, I was anxious to get to work, particularly since my wife had informed me that we only had 30 cents left in the pocketbook and none in the bank. I graduated with what was considered then an enormous debt of $300, with what was considered then quite a bit of money. But now, with my first call in my hand, I knew that I would be able to pay that off in a couple of years. Even as I speak now about my first call, I realize with sadness that a number of you have not yet received a call. I know you are discouraged by this situation. After all your study and preparation and sacrifices, you're wondering what the Lord has in store for you. I ask you in this moment to remember that He is the Lord of the church, and He will give you that call in His own way and in His own time. I assure you that your district presidents are working hard, talking with vacant congregations as I have been doing the past several weeks, asking them to consider extending a call to those of you who are anxiously waiting. I have the assurance that ultimately all the candidates will be placed, for God in His time will certainly do it. That you have to wait is not something novel. It has happened before in the history of our synod. It will probably happen again. The point to remember is that ultimately those who had to wait finally did receive a call. In God's time, you will hear His call to you coming through His people. Dear graduates and candidates, on this night of your great anticipation, allow me just for a few moments to realistically speak of the world situation and challenges that greet you on the occasion of this your first call into the holy ministry of the Word. Accepting this call from the Lord, you are going forth into a world that presents great mission challenges to the church. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father but by me." The holy apostle said, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given among men whereby we must be saved but that name of Jesus." We know that those who die without Christ are lost forever, How important then that we note that the population of our world at the present time stands at approximately 5.4 billion people, the vast majority of whom have not heard the gospel message that Christ was put to death for our sins and raised again for our justification. Each year that number increases 26.2 million. It is estimated that by the year 2000, we will have reached 6.3 billion in population. And I remind you that all these are blood-bought souls in need of Christ. In our own nation, 65% claim to belong to a Christian church, but we know that at least 100 million are unchurched or belong to non-Christian cults or religions. At least 50 million in America are churched in name only. And add to this the 700,000 immigrants who will be coming to our shores each year for the next decade, coupled with this estimate that at least one-third of these will return to their homelands. What an opportunity God is giving us to make disciples of all nations. The United States, I submit, continues to be one of the largest mission fields in the world. And you are being called to go forth, most of you, into that mission field. Accepting God's call, you are going forth with that which alone can save people for all eternity. And that is the good news of God's love in Jesus Christ. It is the gospel and the sacraments which pastors are called to publicly administer. It is through these means of grace that God will bring people to faith in Jesus Christ, as our Lutheran confession states, when and where it pleases Him. Oh, graduates, may God grant you and all of us a passion for souls and a fervent aim to proclaim the gospel in season and out of season, not only to the members of your own congregations, but to the many who still live without God and without hope in the world. What an awesome and exciting challenge you face. Again, I say, God is calling you to go forth into a world today that has a great insensitivity to sin. And even the idea of the orge tou theou, the wrath of God against sin, has been dulled greatly in the thinking of the masses. Many consciences have been seared and are no longer able to judge between right and wrong. You are going forth into a world where the so-called scientific establishment views the world as a cosmic accident and man as a product of chance and evolution. You are going forth into a world filled with religious indifference and skepticism toward the biblical and confessional truths of God's word to which you are subscribed as a Lutheran pastor. You are going forth into a world, sad to say, where pastors are no longer respected or always held in very high esteem. This is due not only to the general skepticism of the age, but also to the recent scandals which have occurred among the clergy of every denomination. You are going forth into this world to congregations where there is still, sad to say, much ignorance concerning the full truth of God's word. Some in your membership will not have been engaged in much study of the truths of God's word since their confirmation days. In the meantime, through the mass media, they have been bombarded with all kinds of strange ideas. And here and there, you will hear a lay person of your congregation speak or answer in a way which is not doctrinally precise, as you have learned to be here at the seminary. In these cases, a pastor needs to deal lovingly and patiently and pastorally with them. You will find that many in our churches err unknowingly, and when pastorally and patiently and lovingly corrected, they will listen and heed. But the Christian education of young and old alike remains one of the great challenges of the congregations of our time. God is calling you to go forth into your congregations as shepherds of the flock. The synonym for the title pastor is, of course, shepherd. Peter writes in his first epistle, "The elders among you I exhort, who am also an elder, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock." Someone said to me a few days ago, when I was investigating a complaint of a congregation against a pastor, "President Kaltoff, I thought shepherds were to lead and feed the flock, not constantly beat them over the head." Out of the mouth of that layman came wisdom. When I graduated some 29 years ago, Concordia Publishing House gave us a little book called The Pastor's Companion. I'm not sure what they're giving away to you this year, maybe the little agenda or something like that. But in the back of that book was a daily pastor's prayer, which I still pray quite often. Part of that prayer I would like to quote to you, because it shows that pastoral heart which we all need for the ministry of the word to which we have been called. The prayer goes like this: "Thou, O God of all grace and mercy, hast also called me, a poor unworthy sinner, to be a servant of thy word, and hast placed me into that office which preaches the reconciliation, and hast given me this flock to feed. In and by myself, I am wholly incompetent to perform the work of this great office. And therefore, I pray thee, make me an able minister of thy church. Give me thy Holy Spirit, the spirit of wisdom and knowledge, of grace and prayer, of power and strength, of courage and joyfulness, of sanctification and the fear of God. Fill me with the right knowledge, and open my lips that my mouth may proclaim the honor of thy name. Fill my heart with a passion for souls, and with skillfulness to give unto each and every sheep or lamb entrusted to my care what is due unto it at the proper time. Give me at all times sound advice and just works. And wherever I overlook something, or in the weakness of my flesh speak or act wrongly, do thou set it aright, and help that no one may through me suffer harm to his soul." Does this not truly reveal a pastoral heart? Such a heart is nothing less than a heart like the chief pastor of our souls, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. May God give each of you a heart like his all the days and years of your ministry in this synod, in his church, until he calls you to himself in paradise. Thank you for allowing this pastor, who has completed 28 years of pastoral ministry and only one as a district president, to speak to you these words of encouragement. May the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit attend you all your days as you go forth to shepherd that flock to which he has called you. God bless you all.